Hey, Tim, Jim Daly here, along with John Fuller.
Hello, Tim.
And we wanted to congratulate you on your interview being part of our Best of 2025 programs.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your outstanding content with our Focus on the Family audience.
Your clever lessons and practical advice on making faith lessons fun have truly made an impact on our listeners. You're making a real difference in their faith journeys. So thank you so much for sharing your heart and wisdom with us.
And we wish you a wonderful year filled with God's richest blessings.
Jim, John, one of the things that were so powerful about leading family devotions is that God kept changing me. And I think over the course of a year and a half, I really believed I was in a different spot than I would have been if I hadn't been doing family devotions. Now, I was trying to benefit the kids, right? Here's this huge benefit to me because I didn't lose my kids' respect. By confessing, right. By admitting that we do it wrong. We don't lose their respect. We're making those adjustments. And I was able to speak into their life all through their teenage years.
That's Tim Shoemaker, and he's our guest today on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. And we're going to look today at how parents can find creative ways to share your faith with your children. I'm John Fuller.
You know, John, I remember the devotions with the boys, and really, Jean and I, you know, we had a different picture of what it could look like, and she wanted it pretty formal. But I'm thinking, you know, these are two boys who are wiggling all the time, and they're not going to sit and listen to music for 5 minutes and then a lesson and then pray together.
Yeah,
I mean,
they did sometimes.
And I don't mean to belittle that because there's a place for that kind of structure. But what I noticed really fast is that the boys wanted action. They wanted to see the Bible in action. And sometimes that could be really difficult to do family devotions where you're thinking of all of this, right? But today we're going to talk with an author who has created some great devotions in his book, The Very Best Hands-On Kind of Dangerous Family Devotions. I got that out.
You did. That was a great title,
one
too,
breath,
by the way. Yeah.
But just wonderful insights on how to make devotions engaging. You know, Proverbs 22:6 reminds parents to train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I love that. And I think that's true. Now that I have 20-something boys, I should say. Sorry, guys. Those lessons, a lot of them stuck because of the whole combination of action, insight, engagement. And I'm looking forward to helping more parents today do it that way.
Yeah. And there's no magic formula. You have to figure out what works for you. But I love what Tim has done here. Tim Shoemaker is a speaker, author, writing coach, and he and his wife, Cheryl, have been married over 40 years. They have 3 adult sons, 3 daughters-in-law, and 12 grandchildren. And Tim's written a number of books. You mentioned the one that forms the foundation for our conversation today, Jim. The Very Best Hands-On Kind of Dangerous Family Devotions, Volume 1. And you can learn more about our guest and this terrific book when you stop by our website. The link is at focusonthefamily.com.
When you say the title, you got to start rolling downhill fast, right? The Very Best Hands-On Kind of Dangerous Family Devotions.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Tim, welcome to Focus on the Family.
Jim, so happy to be here. Thank you, John.
Well, I understand you grew up in a Christian household, which is good. It gives me perspective. I did not. John, did you?
I did. Well, I grew up in a religious home. Let's call it that.
But my boys did. My boys grew up in a Christian household, obviously, with Jean and I. So I'm always mindful of that distinction, you know, how boring are we making this for them? But your dad had that same plight, right? He struggled to make devotions kind of energizing and interesting, like all of us do at times.
Yeah, and you know what? He was great. He's my hero. He was the one that did so much to influence the man I would become and the Christian I would become. But I'll tell you what, it was tough to make those devotions not be boring. And so we were bored oftentimes. And, you know, but I loved him for the fact that he was steady with it. Boy, he did a devotional, you know, each night after dinner. But I'll tell you what, it was something that we had to finish those devotions before we went to youth group, for example, on a Wednesday night.
Wow, that was double duty.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, there was no way anybody asked a question when we were done with that devotion. You know, anybody have a question? No.
We wanted to go.
So we wanted to go. But that was something that I wrestled with. Then when I became a dad and I had boys, and I remembered how I was bored and tried to hide it. And the thought that my boys would be bored was killing me.
Yeah, it's kind of God's sense of humor, right?
Mm-hmm,
you're thinking, I used to be that boy. Uh-huh. Now you're the dad with those boys.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Well, I struggled with it. And I tried different variety. Had probably half a bookshelf of devotional books that I started and stopped. And then I'd try a new one and work with that with the boys. And I thought it would work, but it just didn't seem to work well with them. Then I'd stop for a while. So I was this stop and start dad with family devotions.
In that regard, I mean, it does take, and I was thinking about this, temperament plays a role in this. I think if you're, you know, a dad that likes that and recognizes the energy needed to keep a particularly young boy, but girls too, engaged in the devotional time, depending upon their age, 5, 7, 8. I mean, those are times, okay, this is getting very, you know, disconnected, right?
Right.
So was there a moment or was it a progressive awareness that you had that, okay, we got to make this more proactive, more physically engaging, et cetera?
Well, I think I hit a point of desperation because I was not finding anything that was really working. And as the kids are getting older, it gets progressively harder. One time I did this little coin trick thing that I knew, but I tied in a little spiritual application to it. And the kids were engaged. They thought that was pretty good. That nugget of truth that you give at the end kind of got melded in with the coin trick you did. So they were engaged in that. And the next week, I tried another one. And they were engaged again. I began to think, oh my goodness. Uh-huh. It's this doing something with them rather than just talking to them that was making a difference. And in time, one of the boys said to me at one point, hey, Dad, when are we going to have family devotions? And it was that question I'd never asked my dad.
Yeah.
And I realized, okay, we're on to something. This active, object lesson oriented, or you do an activity. Sometimes we'd take a little outing. And then eventually I started writing them down. I didn't want my boys to struggle someday like I had.
Oh, that's good. So you kind of did that for your own children.
Yeah.
In the future when you have children.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. So cool. Now, one of the things you did is something to do with electrocuting a pickle.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the spiritual lesson?
You know what? Here's what happens. You take just a regular light-duty extension cord that you might have for a lamp. You cut off the socket at the end, right, so that you've got the wires exposed. Then you just wrap a nail on each end and put a little electrical tape. So now...
You're showing us this for the radio listeners.
Yeah, right.
Check out the YouTube to see this array of things that Tim has in real time here.
And so now you take a nice big dill pickle, and you can put, without this being plugged in, you put one nail in one side, one nail in the other side. And when you plug it in, first you'll hear some sizzling, and then all of a sudden it lights up.
The pickle.
The pickle lights up. It looks like there's a battle going on inside there, like fireworks. Hmm. So, of course, the guys love that. And if you dim the lights, you know, the kids love it all the more. It's like...
And again, the spiritual application here is...
There is an application, yes.
I'm thinking through what story in the Bible connects to this pickle.
So what we did is say, hey, kids, this pickle is like us as a Christian. And we've got two major influences. Just like we've got a positive and a negative lead here, we've got a positive called the Holy Spirit for a Christian, right? We've got a negative, and that's our old nature. And inside, there's going to be wars all the time of things that we know we shouldn't be doing, but we're doing them. There'll be a battle. Or things that we want to do, we know we shouldn't. There's a battle. And how do we beat this battle? Well, you could take out one lead or the other, and the battle's over. Mm. And it's the same thing with the Christian life. We're supposed to use the power of the Holy Spirit and a little self-control to push back that old nature. And that battle will come back. We keep fighting it until we win that one. And then there'll be something else. Now, too many times what we do is we push back the Holy Spirit. Battle is over. We don't feel convicted about it, but we've been quenching the Spirit. That's not what we want to do. So, yeah, we share some scripture and can do a little activity like that to remind them of this battle that goes on inside.
That is so good. I know parents might think, okay, what do I do with an electrical cord? And that sounds really dangerous. Yeah. And I'm not an electrician. And you've got a nice little tool there where you've done electrical tape around the two ends. But what do you say to the parents who are going, you know, I think reading Luke would be sufficient?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll tell them this. You know, do you keep your car keys on your counter? And that, well, sure they do. Well, aren't you worried that the kids will grab the keys, go for a joyride? That would be so dangerous. Well, they don't because they train them. And so it's the same thing with our kids. You know, if our kids have friends over and they want to, hey, Dad, can we light the pickle up, show them? Yes, absolutely. I'd be happy to pull it out anytime they want. But if they start doing it on their own, oh, we're still going to have family devotions, but maybe it'll be Bible picture storybooks for a while. You know, they're not going to want that. They want this active stuff. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I love doing devotions where you've got to use safety glasses, you know, at times. Right? And so, you know.
This is great. I love it. Every dad's going,
the
yes.
measure of a devotion.
And not, yeah, so you do things with fire. You yeah. do things with different things. And the point of it is, they're really easy to do. But anytime you hand the kids safety glasses, they are listening.
Yeah, but more importantly, mom is happy with safety glasses.
Well, she is. Yeah. She might not be happy with what, you know,
right,
we were going to do.
But at least you're thinking about safety yes, glasses.
Yes.
That's a big plus.
Yeah, actually, I'm really, really a safe guy.
yeah, so, I can tell.
So, Tim, Tim, how does this play out in this age of screens? I mean, putting the safety goggles on might get my child to let go of the screen for a minute or two, but what's your observation on screens and attention spans and this kind of thing that you're doing?
Well, this really actually helps because with the screens, they're so used to screens. They're so used to PowerPoint. They're so used to all this, where they're being taught someplace. When you start teaching them hands-on, they're like desperate for this stuff. Mm. And they're very tuned in and they want to get involved and do something themselves. And so a lot of times we'll have them do a part of the devotional, some little aspect of it. But you've actually got greater attention than if you had something on the screen with the greatest graphics in the world, because they're used to that. They're kind of bulletproof to that. Mm-hmm. But to do something hands-on, they're hungry for
it. Yeah. You know, interesting. The Lord tends to teach us in that way. Of course, with the scripture, we have record of him teaching the disciples in that way. Give me a mustard seed. Give me a coin. Mm-hmm. I mean, he used object lessons with items all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Jim, I think every time he did a healing, it was really a visual. It was an object lesson. It was a miracle, yes. But, you know, here's somebody that's lame, and now they're not. What did we just learn here? He was able to teach people so powerfully that way. And I think one of the greatest illustrations of that is the one lesson that Jesus had to make sure that his followers got. This was the one. If there was ever a time to huddle them up and say, let's talk, this was going to be the time. Mm. And he chose an object lesson, and that was the cross. And he demonstrated, you know, this is love, this is forgiveness. And he demonstrated that forgiveness and that salvation for us through a visual, through an object lesson. And of course, people never forgot it. And probably half your listeners have got a cross around their neck, or they've got one in the cabinet someplace that they wear, yeah.
You know, when you think about it, and I try to stay up on some of the neuroscience, not all of it, but they now, you know, researchers will say, when that kind of lesson is taught, our minds retain it far better. I mean, there's a mechanism in our minds when we're seeing something and having that explained to us, but we're seeing the object, etc., the way our brains are wired by God, it just fires a memory. I can remember things from my childhood that are fresh as the color of it, the moment, what was happening, because of the intensity of the memory. And that's what you're doing in many ways. You're creating a more intense, not negative, but a more intense experience for that child to remember the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you do some sort of activity, some sort of object lesson, some sort of visual, and on the tail end of that, you're sharing scripture and a nugget of truth, and they just etch together in their mind, and they can remember these things for years.
Your six-year-old niece, was it?
Oh, yeah. She was 6 or 8, something like that. We went to a used car lot because I wanted to talk to the older kids that we had with us about dating and the kind of person that they want to fall in love with or go out with at some point. And it was reminding them about that. And so she was just a tag along. And we did this little thing where we went to the used cars and have them pick a car that they wanted. What's their dream car or truck? Price is no object. We're not buying anything. And so each one picked what they wanted, and they told us why. And the guys were often like, well, I think that, you know, this car looks so fast. Or, you know, what would the guys say if they saw me pull up with this? You know, it was all about the looks. And girls in the group, they were more like, well, I like the color, or this looks so cute, or whatever it was about the car. It was like, these are used cars. If you want a car to go to the distance, what really matters is what's under the hood, right? The engine, and you need a mechanic for that. It's the same thing when you're looking at the opposite sex, you know, is we can get so wrapped up with the outer things, but we really need to be looking at the heart. And who knows the heart? Only God. So we need to stay close to God and have him.
That's good. Yeah, the mechanic of the heart.
Yeah.
The creator of the heart.
Exactly. And ask him to help us fall in love with that heart. Well, years later, we're talking, I don't know, 15, 20 years, some conversation came up. And here my niece, that was this little one tagging along, remembered that lesson perfectly in the lesson behind it. And it just was, it just underscored how well we remember, just like what you were saying,
Jim. Yeah, it makes that point. Mm.
Well, our guest today on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly is Tim Shoemaker, and we're touching on some of the points and the principles in his excellent book, The Very Best Hands-On, Kinda Dangerous Family Devotions. And this is 52 Activities Your Kids Will Never Forget. And we want to get a copy of this book into your hands, and you can find it at focusonthefamily.com.
I think we need one of those disclaimers. Focus on the Family does not endorse this.
We
love it. We do endorse it. Mm-hmm. We think it's great.
I just am still thinking about burnt pickles and what that smells like.
Oh, they smell terrible. Yeah. But the kids love it.
Yeah.
You know?
This is the point. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I am prone to be more serious and teacher. I know this surprises you, Jim.
Yes. But firstborn, lastborn.
Our devotions, I tried to do what you were expressing, where you sit down and, okay, you're four, so you should be able to listen to this 20-minute, exposition of Scripture. So help me understand just a little bit more, because it sounds like you're kind of light on the Bible teaching here.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so what's
bringing
the point
a challenge. Here
well,
we go.
You know what? Sometimes the little nuggets of truth are the deepest things. Think about how Jesus taught so often. He just hit with this zinger. All of a sudden, he hit with this nugget of truth that you could chew on for a long time. There was real depth there. But it was something that was so succinct, that was so easy to remember. And so with this, there are times you'll go deep. The discussion will go deep. You're going to hit deep truth. But you're going to get into it in a very easy way.
Yeah.
And so these type of devotions, I'm suggesting these are once a week. You know, John, we probably have parents out there that are doing something every night. And I'll say, do that. Wonderful. Keep it going. But once a week, swap it out. Because I know kids are pretty good at pretending they're listening. And they're not always listening. They can check out. But they can't check out when you do this. So once a week, you do something like this. And you would be surprised as these nuggets of truth get in their hearts and their mind, they can make a difference.
Yeah.
Where in the world would I find 52 great ideas?
Hmm.
No, it's true.
I love it.
That's what makes this so easy.
Yeah.
You spoke in the book about, I love this, I don't know what your devotional budget is, but you took the kids to a stock car race.
Oh.
Gene, did you hear that? What a budget for devotions.
Yeah. It's a devotional time, yes.
But how great, you took them to a stock car race, I guess. What was the object lesson and how did it go over?
Well, I wanted to talk to them about manhood because, again, these work all the way through when your kids are going through high school. I wanted to talk about kind of a manhood issue. What kind of a man do they want to be? And so we went to the stock car race. There was no teaching. We just went there and did what you do. You watch them go around the oval. Each race, you're picking who you want to win and you're hoping for a little action on the turns and things like that. And it was over on the drive home. I just asked the boys, I said, hey, guys, tell me what you saw. What did you observe tonight? And I was going to use that as a springboard to get into what I wanted to talk about, but they just opened the door. They gave me this lob pitch. One of the boys said, we saw a bunch of men driving around in a circle trying to get ahead of each other. And another one said, and they ended up right where they started.
Pretty much the same spot.
Yes, right. And I'm kind of gripping the wheel, just sort of shaking. You know, is it night? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this was perfect.
You didn't have to say a word.
You know, it was so good. And to say, guys, this is the way it is with most men, their entire life. Mm. They're going in circles. They're not really going anywhere with the world's way. And they end up pretty much where they started, with nothing. And if you want to go the world's way, you better like the oval track, because that's what you're going to have. But if you go God's way, He'll take you on a journey. It's not going to be in a bunch of circles. And you are going to, you're going to bump some people, but not to get ahead, just to impact them for the Lord. And I'm telling you what, your dad chose the journey. And I've loved it. Mm. And I hope you choose the same.
You know? Yeah, that's so good. I had a lesson at a stock car race.
Oh.
Did you know about this?
I don't know.
So I serve on the board of Motorsport Racing Outreach, MRO. Billy Malden is the pastor and the one who is the president of that organization. It's a great organization. They concentrate on NASCAR. But on the board is Darrell Waltrip and Bobby Labonte, all race car drivers, but like two of us.
And then you.
And then me. And so anyway, I'm talking to Darrell Waltrip going, you know, Darrell, I think I could drive a car 200 miles an hour on a straightaway. He goes, Jim, we don't get paid for that. We get paid for driving at 200 through a turn.
Oh, wow.
I went, oh, yeah, that might be a little more difficult, where you just hold the car on the edge before it breaks loose. He goes, that's what we get paid to do. And I went, okay, stupid me. Hey, one of the things, Tim, is it's so crucial for parents to pass down their faith. I mean, we all think about it as Christians, as faithful Christians. How are we going to do this in a way that sticks and makes a difference? Deuteronomy gives us the classic verse about the importance of teaching your children God's word. But you found Psalm 78 to be really helpful. What did you catch in Psalm 78?
You know, there was four things. In the Deuteronomy examples, it gives a clear command. We're to teach our kids. We're to teach that next generation. And grandparents are on the hook for that too, Deuteronomy 4:9 points out. But it doesn't give us the why, and maybe the why should be obvious, but you know, as a guy, I always react better when I understand the why behind it. But one time as I'm reading Psalm 78, I'm seeing the whys behind it. And it gives four quick payoffs there. If I jump in maybe the middle of verse 4 here.
This is great.
It says, we'll tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. There's the reference to Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Right? So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, even, and they in turn would tell their children, and they would put their trust in God. It would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful. So these four things, so the next generation would know in the course of one generation, and we've all seen it. We've seen extended family where in one generation, they didn't teach their kids, and the truth was lost.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. And so they would put their trust in God, yes, for salvation, but also trusting that his way is right. We live in a world that is saying what we as Christians think is wrong. The world says, no, that's right. Embrace it.
It's so accurate. And that's Psalm 78. What a great reference for us as parents to do that and be faithful about it. Mm-hmm. God has to own the outcome. But what he wants us to do is make sure we're exposing our kids to the Word of God, living the Word, even with our mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's one of the great lessons your kids can see is when you need to apologize for not behaving biblically. And that's okay. That gets into the whole brokenness of who we are. We're all sinners saved by grace. It's so important for your kids to see that.
When we mess up, we fess up.
Yeah,
and that's something that is so important. One of the things I found with leading family devotions that was a surprise to me was that the Holy Spirit, you know, kept tapping you on the forehead and reminding you where you need to shape those things up yourself. And so then sometimes when I say, oh, guys, did you hear how I talked to Mom? That's exactly what we were talking about. That's, you know, I need to say I'm sorry to you. I need to say I'm sorry to Mom. And I need to have a talk with the Lord about that, don't I? And you know what? Jim, John, one of the things that were so powerful about leading family devotions is that God kept changing me. Mm. And I think over the course of a year, year and a half, I really believed I was in a different spot than I would have been if I hadn't been doing family devotions. Now, I was trying to benefit the kids, right? Here's this huge benefit to me because I didn't lose my kids' respect by confessing.
Right.
By admitting that we do it wrong, we don't lose their respect. We're making those adjustments. And I was able to speak into their life all through their teenage years. It's really hard to rebel against somebody you respect, right?
Yeah, totally. Tim, let me ask this question because it pops up here. You know, the responsibility of devotions, family devotions. I mean, yeah. Mom and dad were looking at each other like, okay, who's going to take the lead on this? Mm-hmm. Dad. You know, it's like dad's responsibility. It's one of the things you have to do when you get home from work. Yeah. But I don't know. Speak through that whole negotiation with the parents. How do we want to manage this? We're new parents. You know, the kids are five. We got to start maybe thinking about this or doing it already. Mm-hmm. Just walk through what that might look like. And like I mentioned a while ago, does temperament play into that? If mom's got the kind of outside the box thinking, is it good for her to take the lead and dad support? But what do you think in terms of the structure, the discussion within the parents? How do you want to manage this? How much thought should we give that?
Well, I think the main priority is we want to make sure that we're teaching our kids.
Right.
And so if that means mom does it or dad does it or mom and dad together, one way or the other, we have to do it. And often with mom and dad, they can divide up the responsibilities based on where their comfort zone is. So it might be that mom has got the book and she says, hey, you know what, honey, this week, I think we ought to do this one here. It's going to involve this, this, and this. Would you be able to pick these things up? Yeah, I'll pick these up. And could you run this activity? Yeah, I got that. And so maybe dad runs the activity. Maybe mom ties in the nugget of truth. What do the kids see? Mom and dad working together to the spiritual truth. It still works.
There is a certain power to dad engagement. I mean, absolutely. Mom is there and mom's consistent. Mm-hmm. We all know a mother's love, right?
Yeah.
Dad tends to be the wild card, you know. Yeah. And when dads are engaged, I think the evidence, the social science, would say that when dad's engaged in the family, mm-hmm. really good outcomes mm-hmm. occur. And when he's not, bad outcomes can often occur. Mm-hmm. So that's important. And for moms to work with dads to get that done, even if mom needs to organize that a little bit for dad,
right?
Because he's not thinking that through, that wouldn't be any of us, right?
No.
I always appreciated that when Jean would say to me, hey, I think this would be a great devotion tonight. Mm-hmm. Right. On that note, we often rely, even as Christians, we rely on our church to deliver these youth groups and kind of the main teaching for our children. That's not the best way to think of this, right? We should be that provision of God's truth in their life and God's word. And then the church, with all their programs, is the auxiliary component.
They augment what we're already doing. You think about it, in the middle of the night, especially as we have teenagers, when they're wrestling with something, when they need to talk to somebody in the middle of the night, the youth group isn't there. It's mom and dad. And if we've been having these open conversations, it's much easier for us to be there. But yeah, we want to be the main one influencing and teaching our kids. And like I mentioned earlier, my dad was my hero. And, you know, that made a big difference. I wanted to be a dad like him. I wanted to be a man like him. And we see these things as he even taught the word, even when sometimes that was boring. I saw his dedication to it, that he lived it out.
So it wasn't for naught.
Right.
For those that have done it kind of that structured way. Mm-hmm. Well, Tim, this has been so good, and many good reminders on how we should approach family devotions and 52 ways to do that. I mean, this is a great resource. And then I'm sure you can think of your own, but the very best hands-on kind of dangerous family devotions. Rolling downhill once again. But I do love this book. And I think as a dad who wants to make devotions fun, sometimes to my wife's chagrin, I think you should do it. And I'm teasing with that. Jean was always in with the fun stuff. Yeah. And I think it's good when you can do that together. But think about making it memorable, not boring. Yeah. If you're aiming for boring, I think you're aiming for the wrong thing.
And think of, too, Jim, think of grandparents. Often, you know, we've got the kids with us and we're like, what are we going to do? Wow.
That's a great idea.
To teach a nugget of truth. Yeah. Deuteronomy 4:9 puts that on us. As grandparents, we've got to teach that generation.
Mm-hmm. And one last punch, Tim, when it comes to structured versus a little less structured and what kids remember. You did this for years with your boys. Mm-hmm. Where are they today and what's the outcome?
By God's grace, we've got our oldest one. He's a recording engineer and he's active in his church and leading his family with the Lord. So that's great. Our middle son, he's a pastor. So that worked out really good. And we've got our youngest son is a paramedic. And so
that poor wayward guy.
Yeah, right.
The paramedic who's not serving the Lord.
Right,
he's like serving him every day, saving lives.
Right, yeah. He saves lives, one saves souls and such. But yeah, it's this thing where all three are leading their families in the faith. And that is just a gift from God.
Well, this has been great. I think you feel the enthusiasm that we have for this and the importance of it. So if you're a grandparent and you have your grandkids, this would be a great book to subtly purchase for your adult children. And that purchase, you can just make a gift of any amount to focus on the family, and we'll send it to you as our way of saying thank you for being part of the ministry. If you can do that monthly, that really helps focus with our budget. A one-time gift is good as well.
Donate today as you can when you call 800, the letter A and the word family, 800-232-6459, or look for the links to donate and get a copy of this book, The Very Best Hands-On, Kinda Dangerous Family Devotions. The links are at focusonthefamily.com.
Tim, I'm sitting there looking at all the things you've got laid out. The radio folks can't see it, but the YouTubers can see it. And what I'd like to do, and we haven't talked about this, but let's go a little extra for the website, and people can come and take a look at it. But we'll go through the mousetrap and the goggles and some of the other wonderful, funny-looking things you brought today. And parents can take a look at the application of those. So we'll spend 5 minutes there at the website. Can we do it?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Yeah. And come visit us at the website to see a little bit more how you can put these things into play.
Yeah, plan to follow up and see more from Tim, and then also plan to join us next time. On behalf of the entire team, thanks for watching and listening to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and we'll see you next time as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.
Tim, thanks for coming back and extending a little bit of time with us. For the folks that have come to the website to check this out, let's just go through some of the concoctions that you've brought. You've got the mousetrap. That one's been begging for explanation. It's sitting there. I'm already afraid of mousetraps.
All right.
So I think I must have had my finger pinched as a kid.
Nasty, right? They've got a nasty kill bar on them. And,
yeah, that just sounds nasty right there, the kill bar.
And that's what actually gets the kids leaning forward. Whenever you do anything with... like here, this is actually not a mousetrap, but it's a rat trap. That's why it's so big. And so you get the old-fashioned kind on the wood. And here's what you do. Especially think about when you've got a teenage son or daughter, and they're kind of pushing back a little bit. Okay,
so you set the trap and you tell them to touch it.
No, but close.
Oh, shoot. I got that one wrong.
you pick up about... let's say 6 or 8 of these traps. Go to a narrow hallway in your home. Set these traps. Just lay them out in a little maze.
Okay, I see where this is going.
And you have your son or daughter on the other end with you. And you say, okay, shoes and socks off. And dad's going to blindfold you, and I'm going to spin you around a few times. I'm going to send you down this hallway, and you can't even shuffle down. I want you just to step. Would you do that?
No.
And they'd be like, no, they're definitely not going to do that. And I said, well, what if you had to go through this hallway? You have to. But what if, even though you're blindfolded, you put your hands on dad's shoulders and dad puts his hands on your shoulders? And what if I say, I'll walk you through and I'll keep you from these traps? Would you do it then? Of course, I'm much more likely to do it that way. And the whole point of it is, you know what, kids, this is where you're at in life. You know,
that's a good one.
You want to be free. I know it. But this corridor that you're going down right now, there are so many traps. Mom and dad have been down this hall. We know where a lot of them are, but you got to talk to us. You got to be open, and we'll be helping you stay out of those traps. Look, you're not going to have to ask for your freedom. You're not going to have to fight for your freedom. On the other end of this hallway, we're going to give it to you, but Mom and Dad want you to be able to fly. We want you to run and not be a cripple. So many teenagers these last years in their teenager, they come out of it a cripple. So we're hitting it really quick, and of course we'd hit with scripture. But talking about those traps in life.
No, that's really good. That's got great application. Be sure to lock your pets up in other rooms when you do this. But
yes, that's a good point. And if they're really
terrified. The dog and the cat are in trouble.
And if they're really afraid of, gee, I just don't want to set them, just having them there as a visual is good.
Oh, there you go.
At least one time you want to, you know, I'll move away
from
the mic.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, no, the snap.
Ow. It's nasty.
Otherwise known as the death bar.
right.
Okay, now moving on, let's take another one or two here. What do you got there?
Well, you know what? You could work with light sticks. There's a couple things you could do with light sticks.
Jean loves light sticks.
Oh, okay, so
she
that's
buys
great.
Them just for fun.
So you get some light sticks for each of the kids, right? You go in a darkened room. I'm looking for the little here it is, to break this out. You go in a darkened room and you explain to them, you know, how it works. You've got this little glass or plastic tube. Yeah, and you've got the chemical there, and there's a glass vial inside with another chemical. In order to get it to work, you have to bend it until you break that.
Yeah.
And then you
shake
then it
up. Starts going.
Right, and then you get that great glow. So now you've got all of them with this glowing thing, and then we talked to them a little bit about why bad things happen to good people. How can God allow that? Now, there's different reasons that we could go into, but here's one. And we'll just go in really quick for this, but sometimes we're like this in the store. We look good. We're packaged to sell. I mean, everything's all together. But if we stay like this, we'll never do what God made us to do. And so sometimes he strips away some things, and he bends us, and he breaks us, and he shakes up our world. And then, and only then, can he shine through us like he never could before. Mm. So,
that's
again,
good.
These are
I
the,
like
these
that.
Are the
yeah.
short type of things. Fire is great. Oh, my goodness.
You've got, I love this, Dad. Fire is great.
You know, you've got, let's say your kids, they're starting to question junior high. Do I really have to go to church? Why do I have to go to church? Well, there's a lot of good reasons for that. But one thing you do is you take them to a fire pit or you get a campfire, and you want to make sure that one of the logs in there is, you know, about the thickness of your wrist, so you can take it out. And you get little squirt guns, water pistols, just the light duty ones for each of the kids, and say, okay, we've separated this log out of the fire. We're going to time it. Let's see how long it takes us to put it out. And so they squirted, so no open flames. When it's just down to smoldering, okay, great. And when I did it with one of my sons, it was 40 seconds. Okay, great, Luke, that's good. Now we went and filled up the squirt guns again. In the meantime, we put this back in the fire. I said, okay, now we got 40 seconds. We got to put that same log out. And of course, we couldn't do it. And the whole point was this, you know what? This is like this issue of going to church. You know, when we're out on our own, and so, you know, you can use like those fireproof gloves to pull something out of the fire. It's just, you know,
those.
Fun, right? And, you know, when we're off by our own, we're an easy target. The enemy can extinguish our flame, you know, our fire for the Lord. But when we get back to church, you know what? We get reignited. We're strong. We're bulletproof there. And so going to church, it's not just about what we get. It's about that strengthening thing and how we're strengthening others. Because out here, eventually, he'll put us out. And so again,
that's really good. No, I like the facet of that, and the teaching lesson of that.
Just,
it's really, and it's memorable. Kids are going to remember that.
Exactly.
And they'll, even as adults, they'll think about that when they're not going to church and their faith is dwindling, being extinguished. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's good.
Exactly.
Well, it's excellent, Tim. I mean, thank you for taking us through a few more of these great activities. And again, I think every dad and mom should get a copy of the book, The Very Best Hands-On Kind of Dangerous Family Devotions, 52, one for each week of the year, mm-hmm. For you to put into play and to teach your kids something a little more dynamic than reading Leviticus.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's good. Thanks for being here.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.